Well, we're a little light on numbers today. I wonder if everyone's at the Grand Prix. It's a lovely day for it. I went yesterday, me and 130,000 other people. That's a lot of people, isn't it? 130,000. Do you know there was even more than that in Jerusalem the day Jesus rode in on a donkey? Josephus, who is a historian, he reckons it was around 2,700,000, but most commentators and historians think maybe around a million or the high hundreds of thousands. That is a lot of people in Jerusalem, if you can imagine. Imagine the lines waiting for the bathroom. That would even be worse than the Grand Prix. Or drinks or food. It was just ridiculous yesterday, but would have been insane. And so Jesus riding in on a donkey really must have been like a celebrity, because people noticed he was there. People got out their cloaks and the palm branches and were waving them and, you know, laying down the palm branches in front of him, because his reputation had preceded him. He'd just raised Lazarus from the dead. People had heard about his miraculous healings and teachings, and he had a little bit of a following, and people wanted a king. And they thought, well, why not put our hope in this king who will deliver us from the Romans? And so when Jesus got a colt, a donkey, and rode in, he was coming in as a king. Now, up until this point, Jesus had hid away from people recognizing him as king. When the crowds tried to take him as king by force in the past, he'd escape through the crowds and get away from them and hide away from them. He didn't want to be put in that position as a worldly king. And he also just, when his disciples said, like, who do you say I am? And they say, you're the Messiah, the king. And he says, don't tell other people about this. It's not my time yet. But now was the time. It was a public declaration of him riding on a donkey into Jerusalem, coming as a king, because that's what kings did back then, and that's what they did to honour kings. Most kings coming back from a victory would wave branches, or people would like wave branches around them. It was a part of a victory coming, homecoming of a king to their town, or also like in the Greek games, the victors would celebrate waving their branches as they came home too. So this is a great celebration, and Jesus is finally announcing to the world that he is king. In doing that riding of the donkey, he fulfilled the prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey. So this is what people did for him, celebrating him, coming in as king, yelling, Hosanna, which means save us now, or please save us. And they yelled out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now that is a usual greeting. If you will go to Jerusalem at Passover time, you go to the temple, people will say, blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord. Blessing in that way is normal. But to yell out, Hosanna, save us, really showed what hope these people had in Jesus delivering them. But he wasn't going to deliver them in accordance with their hopes. They wanted someone to overthrow the Roman opposition and take back their national pride. But Jesus would deliver them in a greater way. A few days later, he would die for their sins, and they would be delivered from sin and death by choosing to follow Jesus. But right here, these people didn't have that perspective. Now, every Passover time comes with a great idea of deliverance. So they were literally expecting him to deliver them. The first Passover was deliverance. Remember deliverance from Egypt? That's when the first lambs were killed and the blood spread over the doorpost as the Israelites escaped from slavery in Egypt. Deliverance is expected at Passover time. And so Jesus delivered this in a very unique and special way as the Lamb of God. He also rode in as the Lamb of God, not just the King. And I want to specify that at that time, all the sheep that were taken to Jerusalem to be slaughtered at Passover came from Bethlehem. They were all fielded and bred in Bethlehem, brought in to Jerusalem through the sheep gate. The same gate that Jesus rode through on the 10th day of Nisan. Now, on the 10th day, on this day that Jesus rode through the gate, is the same day that all the Israelites, the Jews, were choosing their sheep to slaughter. So they would go, they would purchase their sheep that they were going to slaughter for their sacrifice, for their forgiveness, for their deliverance. And Jesus, in going through that sheep gate, is also declaring that he is the Lamb of God, who would soon be slain a few days later. And we know that to be true. A few days later, he was arrested and taken before Pilate and questioned. Let me read a little bit of what Pilate said to him in John chapter 18. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," Pilate said. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate retorted. And he went out again to the Jews outside and said, "I'm going to hand over a prisoner. Let me hand over to you the King of the Jews." And they said, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas," they shouted. And Jesus was still inside. Pilate went back into Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns, put it on his head, clothed him in purple, and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and slapped him. Once more, Pilate took Jesus out before the crowd and said, "Here is your king." And they yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." These are the same crowds that days earlier were saying, "Hosanna, blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord." But they were so disappointed, so disillusioned that Jesus wasn't going to be that king. They turned on him just like that. They worshipped him for what they thought they were going to get from him. They didn't worship him for who he was. They didn't really know who he was yet or really get it. And when they didn't get what they wanted, they had him killed. Now Pilate prepared a notice to hang a cross on top of the cross, and it read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And many of the Jews read this sign where Jesus was crucified, and others said it shouldn't say that, it should say he said he was the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, "I've written what I've written." He wasn't the king they wanted, but he is the king everyone needs. He delivers us all from our greatest enemies, sin and death. And I know a lot of us put our hope and trust in him for what he can give us. But Jesus calls us to worship him for who he truly is. And I pray that this Easter season, our eyes are opened afresh to see him as he really is. And we will worship him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and follow him with our lives every single day. So I just want to encourage you to think about what draws you close to God in worship, what makes your heart right before him as a humble servant of the Lord, our King. For me, it's listening to worship music. I put a little song in the email this week that aids my worship, and the prayer book, and reading the Bible each day and praying, just drawing close to God. And I just encourage you, whatever draws you closer to God, whatever helps you follow him and worship him for who he is, just lean into that, draw into that this week especially, and every day for the rest of your lives, of course. Because we don't want to be just like the crowds, following along the ways of the world, following others. We want to be Jesus followers, which means actually following him to the cross. Like Peter, he always said that he would. Of course, Peter denied Jesus three times before the cock crowed. There is grace, there's forgiveness when we don't get it right. But Jesus came to reinstate Peter. He came to reinstate God's kingdom on earth, and he will reinstate his right place in our lives if we let him. So would you open your hearts to receiving him afresh today? I'm going to pray, and we're just going to ask him to come and take his rightful place as King and Saviour of our lives. Let us pray. Oh, Almighty Jesus, we thank you that you are the Lamb of God and that you are King, ruler and authority over all things. And we just surrender our lives to you afresh today. We open our hearts to you and our minds, and we ask you to fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. We ask that you'll have your way in us, that we will be true Jesus followers, true Jesus worshippers, Lord, and that we will follow you all the days of our lives. We pray that you will reign in us, reign in our lives, and bring your kingdom more fully on the earth through us, Lord. We believe in your kingdom, and we just look forward to the day when it comes in all its fullness and that we get to be part of that. We just really pray too that more and more people will want to be part of your kingdom too and make you Lord and King of their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.